actually came down to the sixth verse. Now, in my little Bible, it says, we go to the sixth verse. It's went a little further, but it says, no other gospel. I just want to read. Just read, beginning at the first verse, and just read on through until I tell you to stop. Paul, an apostle, not of men. Come on, read. Neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Then he changed the connotation now. See, he gave his introduction. Now he's about to show some things because I want to give you some applications of life from this thing. Some application, what you can take from what Paul taught at that time that we can apply in our life now. See, there's no application. It's no good. I mean, even revelation without application is no good, all right? So let's begin the sixth verse. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace, Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither receive it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equal in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem with them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But others of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards, I came into the region of Syria and Cilicia, and I was not known by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in past time now preaches the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified in me. And what it means, they glorified in God. You may be seated. You may be seated. One of the things you want to put in your note is understanding the mystery of the cross. Understanding the mystery of the cross. Because here we have the Apostle Paul defending his apostleship, and he also is defending the cross of Christ. The Bible talks about the unsearchable riches of God. You ever read that? And the Bible talks about the manifold wisdom of God. You read about that, right? The Bible also talks about kingdom mysteries. He said he's been given us to know the mystery of the kingdom. You read about that, right? All of those things are equated in the grace of the cross. All of those things, if you understand the grace of the cross, the unsearchable riches will come out, the manifold wisdom of God will come out, the mysteries of the kingdom will start unfolding themselves to you. If you understand the mystery of the cross, that's why here we have an argument, because they are trying to bring law back in. And self-effort, and and self-strength. And Paul had to, he had established those churches. He's going back in to get the people out of this bondage. And so he talks about tradition, too. Tradition is a bondage. So when you talk about grace, I'm going to start out at verse 6 in a moment. But you see what the verse 6 says? But I marvel that you are soon, that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. And you see, when he talk about grace, let me read these footnotes to you. I marvel that you are soon removed from him, the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is the only one that can reveal the plan of God. And the master plan of God is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Got it? If class, if we miss this, we're missing out on what God wants us to have, what God wants us to know, and what God wants us to do. My God. What God wants us to have, what God wants us to know, what God wants us to be, and what God wants us to do. If you miss this cross and try to come some other way, try to come through scriptures without the cross, try to come through grace without the cross, try to come through confession or come through faith without the cross, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss it because the cross, listen to me, the cross is the manufacturer of all graces. The cross is the manufacturer of all godly favor. Anything that God do for you out of the ordinary, it came through the cross. All right? Are you following me? So he says, this church had moved, some other false teachers had come in, and they had moved from the gospel, Jesus Christ and him crucified. And Paul knew that if they get away from that, what a time Satan's going to have in their lives. Struggling and trying to make it happen. And I think the same sort of a parallel run to the modern day church, churches. They've got away from that man message. We've got a lot of strategies that have come into church, a lot of psychology, a lot of socialism have come into church, a lot of secret sensitive stuff have come to church. And the Spirit of God cannot grace the church like the Holy Spirit desired to grace the church. And so we want to learn as students of the word how to put ourselves in that divine position where the Lord can do. As a matter of fact, these unsearchable riches of Christ, the manifold wisdom of God, the kingdom mystery, and your conquering position cannot come in play unless you understand the revelation of the grace of God that came through Christ when he died on the cross. Now, you talk about the gospel is perverted without the message of the cross. Why? There's no gospel without the cross of Christ being the center of its activities. See, the cross of Christ got to be the center of the activities of the gospel. Look at Romans 1:16. You know it. But Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, first to the Jew and then to the Greek. But notice, I'm not ashamed of God. It's the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. And the power of God, ladies and gentlemen, is the Holy Ghost. See, the gospel, and then when you see the word grace mentioned, you're talking about, when you see the word Holy Spirit mentioned, you're talking about someone who was manufactured during the cross time. He couldn't come. The Holy Ghost couldn't come if Jesus had not died. Are you following me? And so let me finish reading that voice. So just stay with that voice, sixth voice. Who call you into the grace of Christ, made possible by the cross. The grace of Christ was made possible by the cross. Are y'all with me? Yes, unto another gospel. Anything which doesn't have the cross as its object of faith is another gospel. It's some other way, another route. People are trying to take another route, but there is no other route. Now in Galatians 1:6, and what we're looking at, when Paul said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now, I'm in that wrestling match myself now as an apostle, as God keep revealing himself to me in prayer and time that to bring the church back to the conquering position of knowing the graces of God through Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That the church has there's more than just Jesus dying. You see, that's substitutionary grace. Get this down. Substitutionary grace. In other words, He did us a favor. He took our place. And see, we need to understand that, but don't stop there. The gospel don't include, just includes substitutionary grace. The gospel includes salvation grace. In other words, I'm saved. Thank God I'm saved. But it's because of what Jesus did. Is that right?
Yes,
talk to me. Look at me. Do something.
Yes,
is that right? Salvation. We're saved because of that. I mean, I know you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, but you have to have something to confess. And you had to have something to believe, and you had to have something already carried out that you can come up to that point and step out the first Adam. Thank God, step out the first Adam, and stepped into the last Adam, which is Christ. All right? Now, here's a turning. Paul was concerned about the church turning from the revelation of the cross. Well, just look at this scripture, and we'll come back to verse 6. Let's look at, what is 1 Thessalonians 1:5? It give us some dynamics of the cross.
Yes,
see? See? It give us what should be happening in our life if we really, the gospel of the cross is changeable. But what should be happening in our lives if we're walking in the real gospel?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Good God Almighty. I felt the anointing, Dougie, boy. What should be happening in our life if we're walking in the real gospel? Read that verse. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, isn't it? Read it. You see that? Now that's two powerful verses you read. You read Romans 1:16, you read 1 Thessalonians 1:5. Now, here's where I think the church churches have been perverted to a sense of not knowing how to live clean. Oh, Lord. Not knowing how to live right. Men don't know how to contain themselves. Women don't know how to contain themselves. Young people don't know how to contain themselves. And it's got a whole lot of seducing spirits that is loose in the atmosphere now, more than ever. More than ever. You're almost back to Sodom and Gomorrah sometimes. You know what I'm saying? And the Bible tells us to remember Lot. I told you. Lot got destroyed. Remember Lot, Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Yeah, she kept looking back. So not only is the gospel the cross and the cross the gospel, not only did Christ give us his substitutionary taking our place and then salvation, we got born again, but in that same gospel, in that same cross, listen very carefully. There is sanctifying grace. Now, if the cross is taken out, if the cross is not understood, we go to some law or some medium of serving God or, fast 4 days or whatever and take the cross out, you're not going to be able to walk in sanctifying grace. The sanctifying grace come out of the manifestation of what Jesus done on the cross. In other words, it's a setting apart grace. See, you have a conscience. You have a conscience. Look at Romans 9:1. You have a conscience. You have a spirit. Look at Romans 9:1 and Romans 8:16. You see, without the sanctifying power of the cross, the Holy Spirit cannot bring conviction to your conscience. Are you following me? You see, and then the Spirit bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That Romans 8:16. Now, that's the right verse?
Yes, sir.
And then you see Romans 9:1 is a good one for you to know because your conscience need to bear witness with the Holy Ghost. See, sanctifying. So sanctifying is not a bad word. It's just a misunderstood word. It's not talking about perfect. But it's talking about you have a divine mean whereby you can live right.
Yes.
It's a grace. Say, it's a grace.
It's a
It's a grace from God. It's no hero. It's no hero. I can do that. I can do that. No, no. It's a grace. So there you have. Then you have what the cross produces. Listen very carefully. The cross. Where is that? Luke 9:23. The cross produces a self-denying grace. See why people don't deny themselves? Because they're not taking the grace for it. You're not going to automatically deny yourself. You lie. You're not going to just say, I deny myself. No, because your soul and your emotion and your will are going to be screaming when you say that. You got to have a power to overpower them. See, Satan works from the outside, inside. The kingdom of God works from the spirit works from the inside to the outside. And so, you know, Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Who going to deny himself? You might do it a while. But you cannot deny yourself on your own ability. You can't lock yourself in the room and say, I'm not going to do anything wrong. Because you get proud because you're in the room. You know what I'm saying? So we need to deny self, because self is where Satan lives. Satan will get the living up in your soul. He'll get the living up in your mind. He'll get the living. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let me tell you a secret about binding a strong man. You bind, write this down. You bind a strong man in your mind. That's where he work at. That's where he build those strongholds at. You bind a strong man in your mind, and you loose the stronger man. And then by the be renewed, Ephesians 4:23. Renewed in the spirit of your mind, your inner mind. And then you handle Satan. All right? So here Paul, now argument, there's a whole lot of other graces. Let me give you five or six more. When you understand the true graces of the cross, it's releasing the standards of the Holy Spirit. You didn't understand what I'm saying, see? See, when you understand that grace, when you understand that favor, when you acknowledge that it is the cross that made it possible, Christ through the cross that made, and you got your faith in what Christ did, then the Holy Spirit says, all right, I can work with her. See, you're able to release the standard of the Holy Spirit grace. See, the Holy Spirit is held up in a large part of the church because they're emphasizing the wrong thing. And so the grace can't flow like God wanted to flow. There's a shutting hell down grace. Jesus shut hell down on the cross. He shut what? Colossians 2:15. Well, he spoiled principality and power, made a show of them openly, and triumphed over them in it. And then he's talking about nailing it to the cross. He'll nail my sin, your weaknesses, my mistake, my failures, everything that come against me is already nailed to the cross. They got a grace to handle it for me. Are you following me? How would you like to shut hell down in your life? Don't mean that you can't keep a point from ringing the doorbell. But you don't have to open the door. And I just put a new set of doors on my house, and in that new set of armored doors, it's steel doors, but it got a glass sheet with two latches on it, and you can open that glass sheet and say, who is it? How you doing? But it got plenty of steel and iron between you. If you don't want to shut it back, then can't come in here. So the devil, he's going to knock, and sometimes you're going to see him in action, but you have to know hell shut down in my life. See, he going to send symptoms. He's going to send all kind of things to you, but don't accept them. Just keep fighting. Keep on fighting. Tell the person they tell you, keep on fighting. Yeah. But you got to know what you're doing. See, you can't be trying to use. See, you can't be. The sword of the Spirit is a grace. The arm of God is a cluster of graces that come through the cross. Righteousness is grace. The shield of faith is grace. The helmet of salvation is grace from the cross. Come on, look at me now. See, and so you all know many of these scriptures are going to take up on a deeper dimension of power now, because they are made available to you and possible to you because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he have done for you. You understand that? See, this is all God's stuff. It's a faith project. It's not nothing about no emotion, no feeling. It's that you knowing some things you know, and you got to apply them. So that if you don't, Paul was afraid for these churches, just like I am today. If the blood is not present, your choir can be the best choir in the world. Your preacher can preach some good sermon. But if the blood is not understood by the believer, because you know what's going to happen in a few minutes? We're all going in different directions. Right? And so, really, I need to know for myself. What I need to do and how to do it when I need to do it. So, yes, the grace, I don't know, I'm just doing what the Holy Spirit tell me, because he tell me to teach you about these grace right quick. These understand the true graces of the cross right here, because this is why Paul Organ, I marvel that you are soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. When he said, verse 6, you see that? Galatians 1, 6, grace of Christ, call you into the grace of Christ. He said, call you into the grace of the cross. And then move from it, because they come and tell them now they got to be circumcised and different things. And so Paul is going back and proving his apostleship is not by man, not by flesh and blood. He said it over 3 times in that first chapter. That, you know, I'm coming to you by revelation, Paul said, not by what somebody else revealed to me. All right? In that cross, not only that, now you ought to have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 graces. How many you have? Look at that girl drop her head. She don't have 2. Substitutionary grace, he took my place. Salvation grace, I'm saved through that same cross. Sanctifying grace is that within the grace of the cross, I have the power to live right. Self-denying grace. Releasing the standard of the Holy Spirit grace. In other words, the Holy Spirit can't release all he want to release on you and for you unless your faith is in the right place. You follow me? Yes, sir. Let's go to Galatians 2:20 a minute. Let's go there a minute, because there's something about the 20th verse where he's talking about frustrating the grace of God. And this is what Paul was concerned about. And this is what I'm concerned about in this generation, that we don't get so modernized and so cued in on technology that we forget what make us supernatural. Now, technology is bad today, boy. I mean, you got them phones. I got a phone that can almost do anything. That phone almost can drive your car. You know what I'm saying? It got my iPad, and my secretary sends up to me. I send outlines to her. My son, my wife will communicate with me. I'm going to Orlando, Florida tomorrow, just like I'm at the back porch. They can get to me and let me know things through this technology. But this technology has no comparison to the provision of the cross. But this technology is so easy to get to because it's an outward standard. But the church is supposed to know how to dig deeper and must realize that everything that technology brings, it was first in the spirit. And we need to start texting God more. You follow what I'm saying? Well, we got the ability to text God, you know. There, I told you to turn. Why did I told you to turn? Yeah, I want to go there because, you know, we're going to live there a while because this is what Paul is bringing back to him. We'll get to it in the second chapter, but he said, I'm crucified with Christ. You see that?
Yes,
then what he said, nevertheless I live.
Yes,
but then he said, what next?
Yes,
what he said next? What? But uncrucified, all of this invalidated. Let's say it this way. This is what Paul was so concerned about, the church going to another gospel. And let me say it again because, you know, God has made our ministry a voice to the nation. We don't know who listens to us, prime ministers or who listens to us. The gospel of the cross or the cross of the gospel largely the church at large have gotten away from it. And they're finding some other way. And the way within themselves is good, but it has to be connected to the man breaker. See, the switches would work if it was connected to the right breaker. And so that's what we're doing now, what we're doing with the cross. And notice it says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, now the life that I now live in the flesh. You see that? What it says, I live what? Ho, ho, ho. It says, I live by what? The faith of what? You know what that's talking about? That the faith, your faith in Christ on the cross and what he did for me. Now, the next verse says what? All right, stop right there. I do not frustrate the grace of God. And so Paul is saying to them now, you all are frustrating the grace of God. He's saying that all in Galatians right here now. You go to another gospel, you go to another program, you frustrating the grace of God. Now, those first six things that I've said to you, we lost them. We'll lose them. Hell ain't shut down now. We cannot bathe ourselves in the unsearchable riches of Christ. We're trying to go in some other way. You see what I'm saying? We cannot say nay in all these things. I'm more than a conqueror. There's no conquering without the cross. And when I say the cross now, let's get it straight. We're not talking about the wooden beam. We're talking about what manifested. The finished work. He looked at the Father, one of the seven words on the cross. He said, it is finished. See? So our faith is in a finished work. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. And we're going to look at the cross, looking unto Jesus, the author and what? Finish of our faith. What happened? For the joy that was set before him, what he did? Hold up right there. Despite and shame. You know why the church don't preach the cross? Huh? The cross is not popular, but it's powerful. See, he endured the cross, despising the shame. What else? What is it? You see where he went, right? So you can take that verse. Any problem you're dealing with, look into Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him. What he did? What he did? Despise what? Where he at now? I'm going to say a word now. I want you to hear me. That's a pattern. That's a pattern for the body of Christ. You might have to endure the cross. In some moments, you know, in your finance, in your body, in your marriage, or in one of your children going astray, you might have to despise the shame. Hold up! Wait a minute. That's another part. Am I helping somebody here? That's another part. See, you might be going through something now. You might be enduring something now. You might be despising the shame right now. It don't look good. But we got to end up in the same place he ended up. Why you think the Lord wrote that verse? He He know we're going to have things we go through. He know, man, I was just thinking about two women in this church. I saw them at the door of death. But I saw them and their husband was able to stand like a man in the spirit, stand for his wife. Man, then the woman knew what to do. See, we've won some marvelous cases in this church. I just don't talk about all of them. You understand what I'm saying? I don't go to advertise and all that stuff. Later on I'll give testimonies, but I've seen it. I saw them stand. I'm talking about the devil hollering, 14 demons jumping off the bus at a time. But I saw the men just stood and said, God's going to work this thing out. I said, whoa. I said, Jesus. And he did. And those two women sitting in here tonight. And it's more than those two, you know. Yeah, so you see, there's power. There's undeniable power. But we must not frustrate the grace of God. We must keep looking unto Jesus. So now how are we going to look to Jesus? See, we got to look to Jesus in what he did. Not just him walking the dusty street of Jerusalem, but the climatic moments of his life on earth, selling the Old Testament and all that he preached. So, again, we're not in a hurry. We're going to read this. I might get stuck in this sixth verse tonight because Paul's argument is because you can miss so much by following the wrong trail. So here number seven, grace. From the understanding of true graces of the cross, what Jesus did for us, the spirit of supply grace goes to work. The spirit of supply grace goes to work. In other words, supernatural. Things begin to be supplied to you that man say can't happen. I was praying, and I'll just bless you. I was praying, the Lord says, not only all the windows open, he says all the doors and all the gates open. It's time for my people to step in. All the windows, all the doors, all the gates open. Did you hear me? Everything open. And I'm getting you ready to go through it. You know how to walk in these graces. You're going to make a display before you leave here. I said every child of God who believes, you're going to make a display for God and before God before you leave here. Well, number seven, grace, right? All right, so now let me give you another one. Because the reason I'm saying is that the cross is the manufacture of supernatural graces. And if you don't understand Christ on the cross and you're not going to understand these supernatural favors God has already done for you that Satan can't do nothing about but bluff, huff, and puff, but he can't blow your house in. Now, when you understand that? All right. Now, here's another one. And this one is missing. This is why it's missing, too. Sign and wonders grace is missing. It's missing because the cross been pulled out of its place with a whole lot of substitutionary teaching. See, anything you teach in the Bible, the cross is in there. You just got to know how to pull it out. Then you got this seeding grace. What? Seeding. Like you said, Al? Seeding grace. What? What are you talking about? Huh? The Bible, what did Ephesians say? Is Ephesians 2? We'll see. What did Jesus do after he knew the cross and despised the shame? What he did? Huh? Well, what about you? That's Ephesians 2, right? Find it. Ephesians 2. We're seated now. in heavenly places in Christ. But you're not going to be able to partake of that unless you turn this divine power loose, recognize that you're a partaker of his divine nature, recognize you have lacked precious faith just like Paul had, recognize you got exceeding great and precious promises from God, and those things are to make you escape. Escape what Satan's trying to do. Escape it. Escape it. Satan can never complete his job on you. Why? Because grace displays his rage. When he's raging, what did he say? The storm, the sea is raging, the old song was singing, you know? Huh? Well, how you go? The storm is raging, that's the way he said it. Don't y'all be messing me up with my song. Be messing my sermon up. Jesus Christ. You don't know. The raging sea. Say something about the raging sea. But see, grace can handle any of Satan's rages. Yeah. Satan go crazy sometimes. Yeah. Like your house, the only address he know. Just come here with all this. So when you go bother somebody else, I gotta be praying and binding you. But that sometimes look like you, like he the only one. He had everybody. He trying to hit everybody, but like he just at your house, you know. But he can't take you. Not only do you have seed in grace, in other words, set with him. When you can't drive no more, just set with him. Say, Lord, I'm holding on. I'm setting now. I've done all I could. I bind the devil. I praise you. And I pray in tongue right now. And everybody else talking crazy, I'm just going to sit here. That's a grace to set in. Then the Holy Spirit, and I want you to know this. My mama, her name was Gladys. I might have called her name one time. My mama was a housewife. She went home to be the Lord. But my mama was a cook, and she would preserve figs and pears. And we used to have them wax top put on that thing to seal that thing so no fungus or rotten and stuff can get in there, bacteria. Well, you see, actually, every fight you go through, you already sealed. See, because there's the cross, the cross by revelation produces a sealing grace. What do you say? A sealing grace. In other words, the seal really can't be broken. It's just a bluff. Now, if he can get you to agree with him, see, because every knock on your door is not from Jesus. That's why they put them peepholes in them doors. So you can see who they're knocking. You know, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, but don't just go and run and open the door. That's Jesus. That might not be Jesus. See who at the door. Now think about your sealing grace. You see, because symptoms and ill functioning will tell you the seal broken. But he can't break it. He can't break the seal of righteousness. What you got to do is keep on praying. Then. How can I praise him? A thing not going right. Praise him in your space of grace. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and I know I'm not going to get much further. He says, he said to me, world-shocking grace. The cross produces world. This church is a world shaker. This church is a world shocker. Don't you dare with them? People come here and say, what in the world? And you know, before some of you all come, it was the Boondocks. Yeah, I mean, it's just everything woods. They just build them subdivision here, you know. But it's a world shocking grace. I tell you right there, this is a world shocking grace right here. Right where you're sitting here, that's a world shocking grace. You know what I'm talking about, Essie? This is a world shocking grace here. How can this be? Then the Spirit told me it's a settled grace. It already settled. Everything you deal with at Calvary is already settled. You see, it's already done. And that's why, you see, that's why you got to move. Look at Ephesians 2:8. It talks about we're saved by grace through faith. That's not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. You see that? Now, I want you to ponder that a moment as a universal principle in spiritual living. Wait a minute. I need to scratch it a little bit now. I want you to take that as a principle. See, what do you say? We're saved through grace. Huh? By faith. And then he said what? That's not of ourselves. It's a gift from God. Look at me. Now, on the basis of understanding the graces of the cross, and that it's not you doing it, and void yourself of your self-effort and self-strength, and deny yourself and take up the benefits of that cross by making the right declaration and decrees and casting all your cares on him, for he cares for you. Are you listening? Huh? Well, that verse there is a universal verse. Everything we receive from God is a grace. But you see, our part is to have faith in the grace of God. Now, true faith. Now listen to me. It's nothing, absolutely nothing the grace of God cannot handle. That cross paid for it all. Satan know it. Heaven know it. Hell know it. Jesus know it. The Holy Ghost know it. The church must know it. And I know it personally as a believer. Your body, your mind, your emotion, your will, your soulish life will give you trouble. Never give up. Never cave in. March and fight. Always flag. Have your flag of grace hanging over your head. And then number 13. What number you got? You up with who? Up with me? Rather y'all. I don't know where y'all went. Y'all come park here, and taking up my time. Stand power, grace. Stand power when they're going get rough. That's back to Hebrews 12:2, isn't it? He endured it. Got rough. It got rough on that cross. Now, you know they paint these little pretty pictures. No, Jesus was. You could not recognize it. Isaiah 53 talks about it. He prophesied it before it happened. But he was unrecognizable. They had wrecked that cat tail across his face, and the spikes had cut in him, and his nose was hanging. Everything was just his ears, just wrecked everything off him. So his vision, you couldn't see him. He did that to produce this grace. Now, I have a few minutes. Now, this is going to be a wrestling match for you here. But you're going to just have to wrestle with it because I need to get this out. I need to get this out right quick. So I set you up for the next time we talk. Let me find this thing. And this has been a trick to us because we would like to act like we're in heaven already, but we're still on earth. And we're in the enemy territory. And we're in a body that's not saved. So now, if you're concerned, I know you had to ask yourself a question. How did that good choir member get tied up in sin like that, or et cetera, preacher, or whatever? And I think what have happened to us, and I had to do a lot of study, I had to get a breakthrough on this, but when you got saved, the sin nature wasn't taken out of your body. Now, what happened is the power was taken from the sin nature over you. But if you don't enforce it, you're going to live like a heathen. See, it's still there. It's not going out of your body. But it don't have no authority over you. See, now, good Baptists, we don't want to hear that. That's why so many good Baptists live like dogs, because they don't know that. Well, sickness and disease is all around you. Death is all around you. You're still alive, right? Why? You're overpowering it. Satan will kill all of us tonight if he could. He can't. So let me just read a few things here because my time is up. Oh, yeah, I'm going to quit. What is the sin nature? The sin nature is the result of the fall in the Garden of Eden, all right? Due to the fall, Adam and Eve lost the divine nature. And in its place came the sin nature. The moment the believing sinner come to Christ, the sin nature is made dominant. That is, ineffective. But don't mean it gone. See, now I know all of us good, deep Christians won't say it gone. All right, it's gone. I know it ain't gone. And I pray in tongue more than you all. It's just not flat foot gone, brother. It's still hanging around, waiting for you to step out of grace. But once the faith, you want me to finish this? Of the individual man in Christ and the cross. He ever make the cross of Christ the object of his faith, the sin nature will remain ineffective. That's why some of us can live right and some of us can't. Not that we're not a Christian. We're living wrong. Not that we're not a Christian. Not that we. Well, I can't say that the man kind of said, but love God. Lady said, lady was explaining on television about how her child, he was on drug. And said, but he really loved God. And the moderator said, no, he don't love God. He loved drugs. He saved. The boy was saved. But he don't love God. He loved drugs. What's running his life? See? The drugs. That made me think. So, let me say this. Let me try to close so you can have something to be biting on. Once the fate of the individual remain in Christ and the cross, he ever make the cross of Christ the object of his faith, the sin nature will remain ineffective. It didn't leave. I know you don't want me to tell you nothing about no sin nature. I ain't got no sin nature. I'm got the divine nature of God on the inside of me. You ain't got the divine nature of God on the outside of you, though. See, it wasn't for the grace of God on you. Morga shine, morga do, baboom do, and eyes do too. It will just turn back out, but because on the end, it's the inner man. But tragically, listen to this. Most Christians don't understand the cross as it referred to our sanctification. They don't know what can cause you to live right when your body want to live wrong. What will cause you to live right when your mind going on a trip? What will cause you to live right when you're having bad dreams that look like they're real? I'm going to tell you where it taught it. I want you to read it. This is taught in the 6th chapter of Romans. But most Christians transfer their faith to something else. Listen. You listening? And it really doesn't matter what the something else is if it's not Christ in the cross. Listen. Then the Holy Spirit is seriously hindered in helping us. We put our faith in anything else, even the Word of God without the cross. It hinders the Holy Spirit. Even in a great confession you got wrote on a sheet, it hinders the Holy Spirit from helping you. When we don't have our faith, give me a minute. When we don't have our faith with the cross at his man object mark, here's what happened. The result will be a revival of the sin nature. And boy, we got a revival going on in the church. Virtually, the entire modern church is struggling with the sin nature. And they really don't know what the problem is, let alone the cure. They're not subscribing to God's prescribed order of victory. Here it is, which is faith in Christ and the cross. Only but many are trying to live for God by some other means. Faith in Christ and the cross only. The rest of it is grace, it's from that. You understand that? Ooh-wee. I guess he's going to have a little overtime here tonight. Listen. Because now, when we do not have our faith in the right object, it hinders who? The Holy Spirit. Tell your neighbor, say it hinders the Holy Spirit. Tell him it's him. Now who in their right mind want to hinder the Holy Spirit? George, what that instrument you play, what you call it? Trumpet. The cross is the Holy Spirit trumpet. If that trumpet is not blown, the Holy Spirit can't do what he needs to do. Why? The Holy Spirit will be making an illegitimate move where Satan can bust his head. Now, the Holy Spirit ain't gonna let you get him took out of here. Everything we receive in our heart and live from the Lord is given to us by the Holy Spirit. All right? Now watch. You got to listen now. You got to be listening. You listening? The Holy Spirit is not dealing with acts of sin, but is dealing with the sin nature. And see, what men is doing is dealing with acts of sin. Lord, once they find out they can get forgiven, Lord, I'm sorry. They're going back to do it tomorrow. They won't permit the Holy Spirit to deal with the sin nature. Oh, Jesus! I just had something hit me. Excuse me. Excuse me. Because I feel somebody getting something here. See, we the church been dealing with acts of sin. And so now we got 2,057,000 was a sin we're dealing with. You see? And we're asking the Lord to forgive us, forgive us, Lord, forgive me, Lord, forgive me, Lord, forgive me. And he forgive you. But there's going to come a time Satan is going to catch you in his territory. And I don't want that to happen. I love you too much for that. I know, you know, this is not the only sin, but I know of men died in sex in a hotel with somebody he wasn't supposed to be there with. More than one time in my lifetime, I heard of that. Hey, that's a sad particular man got a wife, he dead, having sex with a woman in a hotel now. They got to go get it behind. One time too many. The Bible says God give us a space to repent. If that thing run out on you, partner. Are you following me? Come on now. Y'all shout me now because I'm preaching good to you tonight. Preaching like a drunk man. Get this now. The Holy Spirit is not dealing with acts of sin. He's dealing with the sin nature. The object of faith must be Christ and the cross, for the Holy Spirit always works totally and completely within the parameters of the finished work of Christ. Because it was the cross that gave the Holy Spirit the legal right to do all things which he does. Three aspects of sin, and I close. Three aspects of sin. Since you know that sin nature is still there, you don't have to be afraid of it because you're born again, right? Yes, sir. You are born again, right? Yes, sir. Make sure now. Yes, sir. All right, it's three. It's the penalty of sin. The cross took care of the penalty of sin. What the penalty of sin was? We all go to hell. It's just going by the graveyard, going straight to hell. That's the penalty of sin. We don't have to go there, right? Yes, we accepted Christ, right? All right, now, we are living in the presence of sin. Y'all know that, right? Yes, sir. But we have the ability on the inside of us to overcome and master the power of sin. Are you hearing me? I'm the one got to go to Florida tomorrow night, you know. One more voice before we close. Galatians 6:14. It's such a kindred voice to Galatians 2:20. Apostle Paul had this thing in his spirit so strong, and I wanted you and Darryl so strong in your heart that y'all don't know your rights and know how that you're the master of the sin nature as long as you keep your faith in place. You're going to have challenges. You're going to have things hit you, but that's okay. Fight back. Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith, right? There in Galatians 6:14, and make a note in 1 Corinthians 2:2. I'm going to keep telling you this. Paul said, I don't know anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Why would that man say that? It's the principal thing. All right. Then he said, now God forbid that I should glory. What? Now, them two things he said at the end is very important. By who what? Uh-huh. Yeah, see, that's through that cross. All right. Lift your hand. Let's praise God a minute. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. We praise you and glorify you and magnify you. Hallelujah. Thank you for your word. Your word have gotten through. Thank you for the internet audience. Thank you for Roku. Thank you for everybody who hanging around and they're getting blessed to get to understanding where the victory really is. The victory is in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for that cross. We magnify it. Let the Lord be magnified in our bodies. Let the Lord be magnified in our mind. Let the Lord be magnified in our souls. Let the Lord be magnified in our spirit. Now I pray, Father, that you've helped the body of Christ. You help this local church. You help every person in the sound of my voice. Whatever they may be dealing with, that the Holy Spirit tonight will honor the teaching of your word in their life, and for them being listeners tonight, that you will honor your word in their lives. In Jesus' mighty, majestic, all-powerful name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. If you need an envelope for your giving, lift your hand.